Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Time now for another Stoop story. This week we hear a story from Mark Lowry about growing up in Baltimore's Charles Village.
So I'm a Baltimore native, born and bred in Charles Village. I'm the only child of an interracial marriage. My mother's African American. And my father was a gay white Episcopalian priest, deadhead, who actually also happened to be a recovering alcoholic. My father came out to my mother, I think, when I was around five. It might have happened a little bit before then, but that's the earliest recollection I have of anything. I remember there was sort of like a big change, you know, happening. And but they still remained like very, very close. My dad moved right around the corner from us in Charles Village, and he lived on Guilford Avenue. My mother has since remarried another white Episcopalian priest with the same first name as my dad. But that's a different story. So I would spend the beginning of the week with my dad, and then I'd spend the middle of the week sort of with my mom and sort of every other day with my mom. And then Saturdays, I would spend it with my mother's mother, Levine, who I affectionately referred to as Maw-Maw. And one of the sort of most vivid early memories I have of sort of going over to my dad's house, one thing you got to understand about my dad's house is that the door was always open, and he was kind of always holding court with sort of any sort of, you know, a revolving sort of array of people that kind of paraded through his house. He did a lot of work with addiction counseling and like AA, and the door was always open at his place. He was always helping people out, and he was never turned anyone away, and was just, you know, really generous and awesome. But I would get my haircut there. He and I would get our haircut in his kitchen. And this guy Mike would come over and like cut our hair. And I remember sort of thinking that like it was weird that like Mike was a barber but like didn't have any hair. But I remember like sitting at the kitchen table and like listening to this sort of peanut gallery banter about just really bad, tasteless jokes and like talking about how hot they thought Matthew Broderick was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or how hot they thought Matt Dillon was in anything, especially The Outsiders and Rumblefish. I remember that came up a lot. I remember also sort of helping my dad like pour cement into his front yard because the neighborhood kids had been stealing the pink flamingos that he had staked out in front. And it was this sort of aha moment where he sort of had this glimmer in his eye that, like, he kind of won because he figured out, like, the cement thing. One thing I sort of remember about a really strong memory I have of something I did with my mother was that in 1983, she pulled me out of school for a week, which was, like, a really big deal because I never got out of school to do anything, to go to the World Science Fiction Convention, which was held downtown at the Inner Harbor, and we met like the guy that did all the effects for like Tron, and we met like Jim Henson, and on the skywalk going over Pratt Street, we met Gary Kurtz, who I don't know if you know Star Wars, but he was the producer of The Empire Strikes Back, and I remember kind of both of us like spotting him, and my mom kind of like corralling him, like on the skywalk. I don't think it was like sort of like stalkerish, but I just remember us kind of surrounding him and like and just getting really giddily kind of nerding out about The Empire Strikes Back while my mom kind of like stuffed a pen and paper into his hand, and he was really nice about it and really like, you know, jovial and amenable, but I could tell he kind of was trying to get somewhere, and we were both just kind of like, you know. Saturdays I would go to my grandmother's. And Saturdays was like movie day, and we'd drive out to like Reisterstown Road Plaza and her like beat up olive green like Maverick, and she like hated to drive. So this is like the only day of the week that, you know, she did it. And we'd sit in the food court at Reisterstown Road Plaza and eat like Cloak and Dagger sandwiches, and then we'd order more sandwiches and drinks, and she'd put them into her purse so that we could, like, sneak them into the movies, because she didn't think it was, like, she thought, like, concessions were a ripoff, even though we were still paying for food to take into the movies. But I remember that we used to just go see, like, really violent movies, like Predator or like Commando or or like Cobra or something like that. And I think a lot of it, was just because, you know, there was like lots of like, you know, hail of bullets and like people screaming and like blood and like just loud and like car crashes and everything. And I think that she wasn't as into the sort of plots as much as that these sort of really violent, disturbing images and all this sort of loud noise like kept her awake and like engaged. And like I remember going to see like Big or something with her and like hearing her like sort of heavily breathing like halfway through and me kind of like nudging her and her being like, I'm awake, you know. I remember she used to take me duck pin bowling with this woman that we went to church with, this woman named Ruth Sampson, that was like about the same age as my grandmother, but she had this like sort of silver beehive like wig that she wore, and she would like cheat at bowling. Like she would like take my turn and stuff. And I was like 8 years old, and I'd like try to call her out on it and be like, Grandma, she's like trying to take my turn, you know? And she'd be like, just let her cheat, you know, it's just be the bigger man. And we'd kind of sit back behind the little like desk and just like sort of laugh at Ruth Sampson like cheating an 8 year old out of like his duck pin bowling turn. And that was kind of what my week looked like up until about the time I was my grandmother moved in with us when I was about in the eighth grade. Sadly, when I was about 19, my father passed away from AIDS. And then 5 years later, 6 years later, I lost my grandmother. And, you know, I think about it a lot. Like, I never sort of saw my situation as, like, unique or sort of special in any kind of way. I was super loved and, like, supported by, like, the most sort of astoundingly generous people that I've met in my entire life. And I'm sort of all the better because of it. You know, I've sort of got I sort of had like a firsthand look into how ridiculous intolerance is on like a really laughable kind of level. And I think about now I'm married, and it's actually my wife and I's wedding anniversary on Wednesday. And I just look at I get kind of bummed out sometimes because, you know, my dad and my grandmother aren't here anymore, and I can never tell them, you know, like, thank you for anything. But I, like, look at my wife's hand, and I see that she's wearing the ring that my father gave to my mother. And I realize I have a piece of them with me every single day. And this is my mother right here. And thanks for everything, Mom. I love you. Thanks.
That was Mark Lowry about the lessons he learned from his unique family. You can listen to more stories and learn about Stoop shows and the Stoop podcast all at stoopstorytelling.com. We've got a link to it at our page at wypr.org. Glad you've been listening to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Hope you have a terrific weekend.